Cinema Vino is brought to you by Audible.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to read the first ad because apparently I'm extremely inappropriate. Well, I think Sean and Todd are a couple idiots.
Well, thank you, Travis.
I'm the perfect guy to read this copy because I love Audible. I listened to all of the Lord of the Rings books, and I'm currently listening to Once in Future King. I love it.
And you didn't use any profanity there. I'm very proud of you.
Go blink yourself, Todd. With Audible, you get that plus thousands of audiobooks and podcasts across a ton of genres.
With an Audible membership, you gain access to all the titles you want, plus keep one title per month for yourself. Download the Audible app, and you can listen at home, driving in the car, or just about anywhere.
Todd, you're horrible at this. Let me take it from here. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to enjoy all the perks of membership, plus receive a free title just for signing up. Visit www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino to start today. That's www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino.
Welcome back, Cinema Vino.
Oh, hey. I love these outdoor podcasts.
I know.
I just love being outside and raining.
We got some mild weather coming in out there, so.
Wait, is this going to continue?
fade you not.
Yeah. <It's> like, I just kind of let it rain for a while, you know? Yeah. Cool. So there it is. Well, I'll go ahead and fade that later. we'll fix that later.
Fix it.
Yeah, that's a post problem.
So we're going to talk about House of the Dragon episodes 9 and 10. So spoilers are everywhere for you guys out there. So just be advised, stream it on HBO Max and come back in here. We're drinking Roman Candle, Pinot Noir, Willamette Valley. Nice, bright, fun.
It is.
Fruity. I mean, it's good. It's a fun Pinot Noir.
Willamette Valley, you say?
Willamette Valley. Yeah.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
I didn't know until Taylor said it was tasty, and then I was like, oh, it is tasty.
Right, that is tasty. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. You just go with a pack. It's, yep. It's so beautiful.
Basically.
The label depicts a headless individual with a halo, so it kind of looked kind of scary, Halloween-y, kind of gruesome. So I was like, it's a good wine, and it's kind of, you know, Halloween-themed. It's kind of scary, so go with it. So we're on video again. We're going to try this project again to put us on video. It's going to happen this time.
Which one's my camera? Camera one, camera two.
You follow whichever camera you want. I think.
No, if I'm a listener, where am I going to watch this?
You're going to follow. you're going to follow this on Cinema Vino YouTube.
Oh, so
that's our channel name.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I'll post clips of it all over social media. So and links, so you can find it.
Great.
God, yes.
Yeah. Got a bitchin' new intro for the YouTube channel, so it's going to be good.
I wore my best shirt.
Bitchin', you say?
It's bitchin'. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know if that word's been around since the late 90s, but there it is.
Stranger Things brought it back season 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Bitch.
Good to know. Quick recap, 9 and 10 episodes. I needed to recap 9 because I hadn't seen it in a while. So the episode 9 is called The Green Council, and the 9 and 10 kind of take place on different sides of the same coin. The episode 9 kind of takes place with the Hightowers and that group, you know, their heir would be king. Episode 10 kind of takes place, Dragonstone, their side of the story, so it kind of captures two different sides. Green Council begins immediately after Viserys' death. Alicent informs her father of what's been going on after she's told of the death and what her husband said as he was dying, his, you know, mumbled words. This triggers a coup d'etat attempt to put Aegon on the throne instead of Rhaenyra. Small council meeting, Rhaenyra finds out that everybody there has been kind of planning for this for decades, so, or for years, I guess, maybe decades, but to basically put Aegon on the throne and usurp Rhaenyra. And also that they're de facto going to kill Rhaenyra and Daemon to help kind of get those political, like, entanglements, all the messiness out of the way, remove any potential suitors for the throne. So Princess Rhaenys is approached by Alicent with an offer, to which she is not receptive. Sir Eric eventually frees her. She rides her dragon to the Great Hall as Aegon is being crowned. She then flies away, which basically publicly puts her with Rhaenyra and Daemon in the fight. So that's episode 9. Episode 10 is the other side. Basically, Rhaenyra is informed of Viserys' death, which prompts her to probably at least partially have a miscarriage / stillbirth. She loses her baby. Before she can grieve her baby or her dad, she has to plan to retake the throne, which has been taken away from her. She and Daemon argue about how to do that. Lord Corlys basically comes around, gets healthy again, whatever, pledges his ships to their cause. Rhaenyra sends her children to rally other great houses, including the Starks and the Arryns, I believe, and the Baratheons. And so to rally them, and this leads to tragic consequences for one of her sons, and basically cranks the war up to another level. So there we go.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Next level.
So what did you guys think? We'll start on this end with Sean. What do you think?
It's a lot to dive into.
So it's a lot of it's cramped.
It is cramped packed, but at the same time, it felt kind of dull.
Yeah.
For two episodes that were about like a lot of political upheaval, like they tried to fit a lot of politics into two episodes.
Well, and the last two episodes, ones where things usually get a little nasty.
Like Game of Thrones did a good job of like really intertwining it. All this show really did a good job of was like kind of foreshadowing it, just being like, oh man, they're not going to like Rhaenyra as queen. It took them 8 episodes. Eight episodes of just like teasing it, just being like, this is going to be a problem in 8 episodes. Yeah. Just you wait. And we got 2 episodes of like actual politics and like felt like kind of like old school Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We got like the drunk Aegon being like, he's not worthy of being king. He's clearly not like going to be a worthwhile king.
Yeah.
And then we got this weird subplot with like the Grey Worm. White Worm?
Yeah.
Whatever the weird like whorehouse was where she was like, I have your Aegon.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just like introduced this character and burned it down.
Yep.
Like, it felt kind of like a great metaphor for the show, right? Like they introduced a cool character and then just gone.
Yada yada. Yeah.
Like she had like backstory on Daemon. Like she was engaged to Daemon, sort of. Like she was there for a big part of like the plot, and then she just sort of went away.
They flew too close to the sun, like Icarus.
Well, it's just like they introduce characters like that, and then they just don't do anything with it. Yeah. Like fucking Eyepatch McGee coming in here acting all competent, and then just goes away. I mean, obviously he has cool subplot in the next episode, but I don't know. It felt like they were really rushing to get here, and now that they're here, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. Classic Game of Thrones, maybe perhaps. It was like they kind of rushed and they're just like, oh shit, now what do we do? It's like,
now what? Well, and everyone was thinking that they were going to follow the Game of Thrones sort of model where the penultimate episode is, you know, the cool episode, something huge happens. You got like your red wedding, you got your purple wedding, you got your, you know, all the cool deaths in Game of Thrones. You got your Battle of the Blackwater Bay or whatever. This wasn't that.
No, right.
You know, It was fine for a penultimate episode. And then the finale, well, obviously everyone was really disappointed with Rhaenys popping up out of the dragon pit with the dragon and just sort of like staring him down and then getting the fuck out of there.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Which didn't happen in the book.
Cook somebody.
I'm not going to start your war. Yeah.
I like that Catherine Hepburn you had there. Where are my dragons?
I'm not going to start your war.
Viserys Targaryen on Golden Pond. I was like, if you got that situation, cook somebody, you know, at least, you know, roast somebody.
And even you've proven a point.
Yeah. That's what I was thought, you know, Daemon was going to do something. He was like, oh, but yet you're here. You had the dragon. You could have done something about it, but here you are.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he going to kill her? Cause I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And then the last episode, obviously the cool part was the final part where he goes off to, what, Jaehaerys?
Was that Jaehaerys?
Jaehaerys Voorhees?
Not going to work here anymore.
No, it wasn't Jaehaerys. Who was the other dude? Laxative?
Viserys?
Was that his name?
Viserys and...
Oh, that was the dragon.
One of them was Viserys. One of the kids was Viserys.
There were two J names, weren't they?
Yeah. I think there's two Viseryses in the kids.
I think that's one of the blonde kids, one of the real ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I think one of those kids was Viserys too. Am I wrong? Or Vagon?
She had an Aegon as well.
Damn these names.
Yeah.
There were three Aegons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so he obviously had the cool plot where he got to go to the...
Baratheon's
castle? Yeah. And had a run-in with his eyepatchy cousin, who his eyepatchy cousin sparked, you know, a whole bunch of bloodshed.
What a little bitch.
Yeah. Everyone was just like, if you get there and you see that giant dragon, you get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just get out.
Yeah. Now, that should have been a red flag, you know, when there's that massive dragon.
God, outside. That was one of my favorite parts of the episode, though. Once he pops his head over and you're like, oh, that's a tiny dragon. No, and that's a big dragon.
My favorite is where you see from underneath, you see the dragon flying and the lightning goes
that
off.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And you can see the silhouette of the giant dragon above him.
Pretty cool.
That was.
I enjoyed that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But I don't know. You know, it felt like it was consistent with the rest of the series.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. Very under
backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Underwhelmed. Yeah.
So I liked it just because I got some hot dragon action there.
And I said that too. I was like, Travis is wrecked right now.
Yes. You know, episode 9, you've got the dragon, the beast beneath the boards popping out. And you're like, yeah, she's going to get away. Fuck yeah. And then, yeah, same thing. I was like, well, why don't you cook these bitches and we can make this one season.
Yeah.
Let's end all this right here.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do want to see some hot dragon on dragon action in seasons, whatever, 2 through 4, you know, however many we're going to get.
I mean, how would that scene have been if she'd cooked everybody in there? What would anybody have done to prevent?
Yeah. Like, they would have found
Hail the Queen.
They would have found a way to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
But that scene, I guess, didn't take place in the books. I didn't read these Fire and Blood.
There's a lot of yada yada yadas happening, in, like from the books to the show.
And from what I understand, like much like history, it's written by the victors, so there's not reliable narrators in the book.
Which one
all throughout?
Which one was Victor? Which son?
What?
There's all two victors. Them. One was blonde.
It's like Victorus.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought I enjoyed the dragon dog fight in the air at the end. I was like, yes, this is so cool. And we should be getting a fuck ton more of it in the next seasons. Now, I understand why they, it was kind of slow and where they started, why they started where they did with the younger actors. But, hopefully that should all just ramp up now that, they have Game of Thrones money. You can throw money at the screen. I get it.
Well, and to do the Dance of Dragons with justice, they're going to have a massive CG budget.
Yes. Yeah. So they're just ramping up, hopefully.
Yeah.
And Taylor, you were saying they might not be in the next one might not be until 2024,
yeah,
which is fine because it's going to take them that long
exactly.
to render all those scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want them to do it well because there were still parts where the dragon's kind of far away. You're like, well, this kind of looks shitty in some parts.
I think there's a dragon over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I loved how it was. Episode 9 was an Alicent episode, and episode 10 was the Rhaenyra episode, where they each got one to focus. But I read an article on Nerdist that was talking about how a lot of the agency was taken away from the characters by miscommunications or by a whoops or an uh-oh, because Alicent, whenever King Viserys dies, he's, it's in a fever dream, and he's the reason that she can be like, oh, I'm going to try and get my son on the throne.
Yeah.
And so it takes away from her in the books where she was just wanting to get her son on the throne so he doesn't die, maybe, if Rhaenyra comes into power. And
they did
the same thing with the very last episode where Aemon is chasing after the kid that blinded him. And all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, I can't control my dragon. He accidentally killed the other one. He's like, oh, shit. And Aemon didn't going to come back and be like, yeah, I can't control my dragon. It was an accident. Like, somebody was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be like, yeah, fuck him. He knows what he did.
I get why, he was doing what he was doing just because of the character. But they even had a scene where he was just like, I feel like an eye is a good enough price to pay for a dragon.
Yes.
He got his just rewards. He got what he needed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had a badass fucking eye.
He looked cool.
It looked cool.
Yeah.
What it... I guess happened in the books is that he was betrothed to one of the Baratheons then, one of their daughters. And one of the other daughters was like, are you going to let him get away with that? Like, I thought he took one of your eyes, not your balls. He was like, I'm glad you're not going to marry me because I want a husband with all his parts. And that pisses him off. And then he leaves and hops on his dragon. He's like, I'm going to fuck this kid up.
I would love for that dialogue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fill it in a little more.
Again, I didn't read it, but I saw it in an article. I was like, that would have been way cooler than the scene we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you guys rate overall, 9 and 10?
Oh, the entire season?
Well, I mean, just like the last two.
Last couple episodes, 7.5?
Yeah, I'll go with that, 7.5. End dragon fight did a lot for me.
I enjoyed that too.
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the same page with that, about 7.5. The last two episodes, this whole series was, and this is saying this in the nicest way possible, which means I'm going to be a dick, but it was just one big soap opera. It was like, it was like I was watching One Life to Live or Young and the Restless. It was like, there were some cool scenes, but it just...
Downton Abbey.
It just felt like I was at home sick in the morning and Price is Right was over and I'm just watching soap operas. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
There's always the dramatic music. I'm like, why are they being dramatic right now? I was like, what's going on? But it was still visually pleasing. I think that's kind of what ultimately saved it. It was like, the dragons was cool. The last two episodes, I think, give you something to look forward to, mm-hmm. but that still makes me sad. Like, I wanted something this season, you know, like there yeah. were some good drama, but I was like, ugh, man, I really wish there was something else.
Yeah.
Still a great, well, let me rephrase that. Still a good series. I enjoyed watching it.
Kind no of rings of power.
I'm glad it's over. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, I'll say that. It was like
Sunday nights are back.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, now I can watch some other things. It was like, but I was like, it because it did feel like it was a chore almost.
Yeah.
I was like, I had to miss one Sunday and I was like, I'm not offended by this. But if I had to miss like, you know, peak Game of Thrones, I would have moved heaven and earth to watch it. But yeah. now I was just like, I can't watch it till Monday. LOL. You know, I was like, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say a 7. Even for the whole series, but even 7 and 9, or you know, 8 and or 9 and 10, I don't know.
Even bad Game of Thrones, still pretty.
It was still good. Yeah, yeah.
Like
but
pizza.
It was
it's like pizza.
Yeah, yeah. But it was. I did like the fact that whoever the kid's name we cannot remember, wasn't he the heir to Driftmark? And then Corlys was still alive. Mm-hmm. So it was like, wow. So his brother got his head chopped off by Daemon for apparent no reason. Now it was just like he was trying to claim Driftmark.
Don't and
it was,
talk shit in front of.
I know. It's like
it was a cool move.
Yeah, it was. It was. Like, I thought it was just so funny. I was like, that poor bastard. It's like if you just would have waited a little bit. It was like the dude wouldn't even been heir.
Just keep
like,
your mouth shut.
Yeah, your brother was still alive.
Yeah.
I was like, so I don't know. That was my first reaction. Was like, damn, that was the heir to Driftmark. Mm-hmm. Well, rest in peace, bro. Yeah. It was just like, damn,
he gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, well, that sucks. And that other dude just died for nothing. Now it was like, all right. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, but Daemon's still my favorite character.
I was going to say, what do you think of Daemon's story arc? Because it kind of ends on a shitty note with episode 10. He kind of has some abusive, real abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Points.
And he didn't know about the Song of Ice and Fire. Clearly mm-hmm. they just,
yeah. I think that probably would pissed him off. I was like, but yeah, he's going to be the character that I think people are going to stay and watch for just because
Matt Smith is the best actor.
You don't know what he's going to do. Yeah, I was like, yeah. I mean, you don't know what he's going to do. He's crazy. And like, you know, I think that's what's going to keep people watching.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed these two episodes. I thought that the series picked up steam. I like the political intrigue and the kind of like the melodrama. It reminds me because it's like in I think in real history, historical situations, there's a lot of like fog of war scenarios where agency gets taken away. A lot of wars start by weird accidental things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a lot of speculation about Vietnam and the Gulf of Tonkin, like
Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah. Who fired the shots? I mean, yeah, it's like, how did it start really? I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a great analogy of Franz Ferdinand. It's like sometimes there's just crazy shit that starts stuff that nobody has any control over.
Well, I like the defection of the Kingsguard and kind of seeing
which
one follows Eric? The honor.
Yeah.
Eric and his brother, Eric.
Arik and Eric,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And that mom hated them.
It's true.
I liked how they've kind of explored. Obviously, with Game of Thrones, we saw Daenerys was immune to fire. And she used that a couple times to fuck people up around her. But they've really kind of gone the route of, you know, the pureblood Targaryens can have an affinity with dragons. And you know that from the start. Their words are fire and blood. So they are whatever, pureblood Targaryens and obviously fire dragons. But I never knew that I guess they also have like weird prophetic dreams. And I don't know if that's leaned on as heavily in the books, but they've done it a lot with this, with you know, making up the Song of Ice and Fire, the thing with the Valyrian dagger, and having Viserys have some of those same kind of dreams.
Yes. Well, so in the books, like there's a big big thing about how Targaryen blood is linked with magic. Like they have like one of the last magic bloodlines along with the Valyrians. The Valyrians also have one of the magic bloodlines. But part of that is, you know, sometimes they're crazy. Like the daughter slash wife of Aegon.
Oh, yeah, she's prophetic.
She only speaks in prophecy.
Yeah.
She doesn't speak like normally. She only speaks in prophecy, which is why the only line that she had here was like, there's a beast beneath the boards. And then like the mom's just like, get up.
I think she's had a few other ones, but yeah, that was the most on the nose.
Yeah, but then like Aegon had his prophecy, obviously the Song of Ice and Fire. And then Daemon's like, my brother had enough of his prophecies and he served his whole life on visions. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. No Targaryen has all three. They don't have the, you know,
sanity.
Super good with dragons,
sanity,
immune to fire and prophetic, you know?
Yeah.
They don't get with both.
Which
hands.
Power would you like to have?
Not being immune to fire. I want a fucking dragon, man. I mean, I guess I would want to be immune to fire after having dragon, but yeah. You know.
I'd like a dragon.
Yeah.
I mean, dragon gets heartburn one time, you might get cooked.
Yep.
You might get boiled.
All those people with prophetic dreams are just fucking crazy, and nobody trusts them.
Yeah. I feel like immune to fire would be pretty handy.
That would be pretty cool.
Because you can ride a you can learn to ride a dragon, but like.
Yeah, but what if they snap you in half? They're like, fuck this guy.
Or what if they try to burn you?
Yeah. I mean,
and then they're just like, my bad, you're good.
Or they're like, oh, my bad, I'll snap you. I look delicious.
Especially to
a dragon.
I think you've lived deliciously.
Eat me and then also leave me some of the back tooth and just like kind of gnaw on me for a while. Like I'm chewy.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I would be delicious jerky. Yeah.
Deliciously.
Yeah.
I would eat me.
You're a bit of honey. A bit of honey. Yeah.
All right. So this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Yeah. And we thank you guys very much. House of the Dragons. HBO Max. Find it. Stream it. And yeah, we will see you guys next time. We're gonna get back with our Halloween stuff. We're gonna continue boozing. So
hey, we're gonna do this now.
Oh yeah.
Oh god,
Travis.
Yeah, I think there's a booger in mine.
That was mine.
Was it great? Great movies only drunker. Not with a man with a whimper.
Yep.
So see you guys next time.
Peace.
Cinema Vino is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a great way to spoil your pet at an affordable price. Sign up, and every month you'll get a fresh box of treats and chew toys, all specifically matched to your dog's size, weight, and health. Go to www.barkbox.com/cinemavino to get 1 month of free goodies on a multi-linked plan. That's $35 worth of presents for your pup just for signing up at www.barkbox.com/cinemavino.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.